A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, powered by the OBBM Network. Man, Sam, we have a great show today. But before we begin, I got to give a special shout out to Grunt Style for if you see these amazing shirts that me and Sam are wearing for hashtag Walk the Bridge. These shirts were developed by Grunt Style to help raise awareness for the post-traumatic stress and growing up. Is that an earthquake over there?
Yeah, called Frodo. Sorry about that. Wow.
That's all right. These shirts were developed to raise awareness for post-traumatic stress injury, along with the growing number of suicides within our first responder communities. Proceeds from these shirts will benefit first responders throughout the country and to help scholarship them into our post-traumatic stress workshops. So I want to give a big shout out and a thank you to Grunt Style for doing everything they can. And stay tuned for the new upcoming UK shirts that will be we should have ready to sell next month or next week or soon, right, Sam? Those shirts should be going on sale soon for the UK.
Yeah, still waiting on the finals, making sure everything is on the shirt as Grunt Style works brilliantly with their artists. And so we're doing like the thank yous up front. So two thumbs up to Grunt Style. Amazing. Yes. And turn around so everybody can see the back. Woohoo! So that's our initiative, hashtag Walk the Bridge. You can find it on our website. We would also be remiss if we did not start the show by thanking Carry the Load.
Carry the Load.
So it's about 90 degrees here in Texas today, so I'm not wearing the socks, but I wanted to show them. So Carry the Load is an amazing partner. For the second year in a row, we've been chosen as nonprofit partners based upon our mission, serving our veterans and first responders. And, you know, frankly, we couldn't do without them. They are a big part of bringing awareness, shining a light on the suicide epidemic, and also providing solutions. So thank you, Carry the Load, for what you do. And stay tuned. You'll see a lot of posts on our Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn about Carry the Load and how you can become involved, because you can become involved no matter where you live in the United States. And we'll be rolling out more as time goes on about participating in relays. And if you're within driving distance to the Dallas area, you want to join us Memorial Day weekend at Riversham Park, where I guarantee you, I have been doing Carry the Load, been participating since 2015, and now nonprofit partners for 2 years. This will be a Memorial Day that you will never forget. And I guarantee it's unlike any Memorial Day you've ever spent. So come on down to Riversham Park think about all of the men and women who pay the ultimate sacrifice. And, you know, that's a kind of a perfect lead in to what we're talking about today. Today's show is filled with some heartbreak, but on the flip side, a champion cause that really, well, it's important for people to know when they go through tragedy that they still have a voice, that they are cared for, and that there's people out there that will have their back no matter what. So without further ado, we're going to bring in Kristen and Eden. And Kristen is the founder of Blue Wives Matter. Hey, Kristen. Hey, Eden. Welcome to
the show. How are you? Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And yeah, Kristen, we'll start with you. Could you tell everybody listening and watching how Blue Wives Matter came about, your story?
Yeah. So back in 2017, my husband was a lieutenant and he lost one of his officers off duty to a cardiac event. And I noticed that, you know, after we buried his officer, that the support wasn't really there for the family. And it made me think that, you know, this must be happening to other women. And so I spoke with our widow and I said, you know, would it be okay if I, you know, reached out to other widows and maybe, you know, started a nonprofit to help them? And she said, you know, I'm not in any condition to do anything, but yeah, go right ahead. So, you know, I just started reaching out to women, you know, I find them on social media and stuff, and then they started finding me. And slowly but surely, it just started growing. And I would find out what their needs were and try and, you know, help them as much as I could. My husband is very knowledgeable in benefits. And so we were helping women across the country, you know, navigate, because their benefits, you know, if they just have lost their spouse or their fiance, and they, you know, are given this, you know, all these benefits that they have to navigate, and it's not easy. And so, you know, we would get on a three-way call with the widow, and she would, you know, send her benefit package or the contracts or whatever to us through email, and we'd review them, and then we would go over them with her over the phone. We've done that. We've been able to change contracts so that a widow that had stage 4 breast cancer got her medical benefits changed and covered, and an addendum on there for a New Jersey widow that was fighting to get them. We've had one of our CHP widows it's been 25 years. Her husband killer was on death row, but he had a federal sentence first. So he was in the General Max in Colorado, or Super Max in Colorado. And during the pandemic, he had served his 20 years there. He was sent back. He should have gone to San Quentin, death row San Quentin, but they sent him to Folsom in general population. And this is a bad guy. And he was, you know, making phone calls, and he was still a hardcore gang member. And we had to help her get with the right people to get the governor, Newsom, you know, how he is. I won't go there, but
be my guest. Go there.
I know that could take the whole podcast. Okay. But we helped get her with the right people, and he was transferred to San Quentin. I also had, you know, contacts that worked in Folsom, you know, pass a message to them. We're watching you.
Kristen, I know you don't want to go there, but I'm going to go there for you because I want to put a message out to all our politicians, both on both sides of the aisle. Yeah. You know, our first responders are out there supporting us 100% of the time, on and off duty. I was thinking about this the other day. Yeah. You know, they're not these, you know, when you ever see a crime in progress, you see everybody around with their phones up taking YouTube videos, you'll never see a first responder holding their phone up. They're always jumping that into action, no matter where they are.
Their wife wasn't videotaping either.
Right. No, right. And our leaders have to remember that our police are the first line of defense against, you know, horrible tragedies throughout our country. And when they are lost in a line of duty, okay, their spouses,
regardless,
their spouses, their remaining family should have no issues in getting the benefits they deserve. They should be streamlined, easy, and the support from our politicians has to be there for the family members. They can't be forgotten about. So I want to thank you for everything you're doing for these spouses of those who are lost.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we got to take our first break. We're going to bring Eden here. She's an integral part of making Blue Wives Matter work. And so let's listen in for our first sponsor. We'll be right back, everybody.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Move Freely, America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely, America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. Movefreelyamerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. Want to welcome back from Blue Wives Matter, Kristen and Eden. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Before we left, we were just talking about the support that's needed for our first responders that are out there and their spouses. And it seems like no matter what the issue is, even if you retire, it seems like you've lost that brotherhood and you don't have that support network or that safety net anymore once you put in your 20 or 30 years. And that's not how we have to, that's not how we should be. We were a family for 30 years. It should never break up and we should always be together and there for support. So, Kristen, thank you for starting Blue Wives Matter because it does matter a lot to a lot of people.
And we take retired, officers that retire and they pass away after they've been retired, no matter how long it's been, we accept their widows and widowers and fiancés too. And it's regardless of cause of death. So, you know, they die of cancer off duty, an accident off duty, suicide, COVID, on duty, any reason. We have somebody that died in the academy, so didn't quite make it. We have his wife in our group, you know, retired, and everyone in between. And we have a firefighter's widow. She couldn't find a support group when her husband died by suicide about 4 years ago or so. And so we've had her ever since. And all the police wives, you know, just kind of.
Well, that's good. Embrace each other. Embrace each other.
Yeah. You know, John, it reminds me, we had the untimely passing in Garland and how a lot of the wives were coming forward of not only the officer that we lost by suicide, but those that were watching this whole thing unravel. And it's like, you know, the wives, they need this support too, because as we've said before, if your spouse is serving, the entire family is serving.
Yes.
And it is true because the impact that the job takes and on the family is huge. And, you know, week to week, we hear more and more of secondary vicarious trauma, and it has to be something that's addressed. And Eden, You know, unfortunately, you're no stranger to everything that that I just said. Please, you know, tell us your story and how you found Blue Lives Matter, how they're helping out.
Thank you. So my husband is Deputy Constable Caleb Rule. He was killed in the line of duty on May 29th, 2020. And like I would say, many, if not all spouses, those first few weeks, few months are complete fog. I remember certain details that I don't know why I remember that. And then there's other things that I have no idea what occurred on that day, or someone will say, yeah, I came over, or I this. And I'm like, I don't remember that at all. Just a complete blank space. So I don't really remember exactly how I came in contact with Blue Lives Matter.
I don't remember either.
I do know that sometime thereafter, I kind of found my place where I was longing for some support and camaraderie and feeling alone, even when I'm in a room full of people. And so I did start looking on social media for some different support groups. And I think that's how I came about. I literally just started Googling and searching and joined a few here and there. I'm sorry?
I think it was shortly after.
Yeah. So I kind of joined some and then left some and this and that, and came across Kristen's group and just kind of listened in and did some posts and here and there. And she sent some items to the kids, some goodies and stuff, just to say, hey, we care about you. Sent me some different, things, and put my kids in her badges of what do you call your
patches of honor?
Patches of honor, yes. And so the kids get collect patches from all over, and even my kid, who's 21 and out of the program, she still very desperately wants to collect and is excited about that. And so just little things here and there to bring us into the
married and has a child, and she gets up. Yes.
I've come and stayed at Kristen's house twice and gone to Disneyland, and she's shown us around the town and let us borrow her car, picked us up from the airport and everything. And just, she's been a good friend. In fact, just a couple nights ago, I was like, I haven't talked to Kristen in a while. And then boom, the next day she posts that she's looking for someone to share their story. And so I was like, oh yeah, I haven't talked to you in a while. Looky there. So just Blue Lives Matter is it's a good support system it's a safe place, a safe support system to share your story. And, there's usually always somebody on the Facebook group at some point in the middle of the night. Most of us are, hard through the middle of the night. And, I feel comfortable. There's some other groups that I'm in that I'm not going to throw shade on, but I don't feel comfortable saying certain things, or I have expressed feelings and didn't get the support that I was hoping from. And so with Blue Lives Matter, I really feel it is a safe, strong support where all spouses, not just wives, there are some men in the group as well, that we can just say, damn it, I'm upset, I'm angry, and this isn't fair. And, the kids are driving me crazy, and I'm sick of this and that. And, just feel comforted, and that we're not alone, and we all understand how horrible this new life is, and we're in this club that nobody wanted to join. And so it's Kristen has just been she's an angel. So I've really appreciated her friendship these last couple of years. People try to tell you, look for the silver linings and this and that, and that's one thing that I can truly not feel guilt out of accepting as a blessing is her friendship and the support of her.
You're
going
to make me cry. So
Eden, Eden, let me ask you a question, because support is such a big thing. And, you hit on that topic a lot. And I'm just wondering, because it varies from, I guess, city to city, department to department, or whatever it is. But when this did happen, okay, I know as a family, you probably had all the law enforcement barbecues, the parties, the galas, everything else throughout his career. But then when he was killed, that support stopped, right? Did the department offer you any services afterwards? Psychological therapy, yeah. Anything for the children, anything?
So you just opened a can of worms. You might want to go to that commercial.
Oh, I was just looking at the clock. Yeah. You know what? Everything that John went over is important because people need to know the realities. Yeah. Because when they walk out the door, you know, you're wanting them to come back. But when it doesn't happen, you know, what are the realities? We'll take a quick break and we will answer that question when we come back. Be right back, everybody.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. Our guests tonight are with Blue Lives Matter, Kristen and Eden. Thank you guys so much for sharing your stories and opening up. And, you know, this is a powerful segment because there's so many people. When we talk about suicide and we talk about post-traumatic stress, the conversations are hard. And that's why people don't know how to approach each other. They don't know how to finish the conversation or the proper questions to ask. And when a spouse loses another spouse in an on-the-job shooting or loses somebody, you don't know exactly the words to bring out or what to say. So Blue Lives Matter gives them the support net and the support network that they need, that where they can bring out their frustrations. They can bring out the troubles that, you know, they go through, because everybody's feeling that same thing, and it's a connection and it's a bond. But I know I opened up a can of worms before we left. But it's very important because, and I don't mean to, like you said, cast shade on any department, because they may not just know, they may not have something in place that benefits them.
There may be, you know, they don't know what to say. They may think I don't know what to say, so I'm not going to say anything at all. One thing that I wanted to do, you know, I just, you know, don't have the funds to do it yet, is I wanted to go to individual departments and train them on what to do when you lose an officer, how to take care of the family. And, you know, if you don't know what to say, all you have to do is text them, "How you doing today?" Or, "I was thinking of you today," you know, or, you know, "Oh, I thought of Bob today and this funny story." You know, they love to hear stories about their officer, you know, memories of them, just anything. Pop a note in the mail. Any communication is better than nothing. Stopping by their house in uniform for the kids to see them is huge. Just the smallest things. Go by with the canine, you know. Just anything is better than nothing. So, you know,
No, I agree. I agree 100%. I agree. And those conversations are hard, but they bring such a relief to the family member. And as hard as they are, the questions are, you know, that really does help the healing process, knowing that you still care.
Yeah.
Always say a hero remembered never dies. And that's been an extremely vital part of my existence and my purpose still living on this earth. And, you know, I think about Caleb all day, every day. There's, you know, everything, a thought, a memory, a this, a that, you know, takes me over. And, you know, I try my best to put him into conversations with the kids, and you know, he's not off limits. It's not a taboo situation. My dad died when I was 7, and I have really no memories of him. My mom didn't encourage conversation about him. In fact, she started dating very quickly and was remarried. And the only time my dad was ever discussed is if I asked a question about him. And that was when I was 7. That was many years ago. So my mom has passed now. So I don't have anybody to ask questions really about things about my dad. And now my mom, it's been many years since she died. I was a teenager when she died. So that's even more important to me to instill in my children these memories, and you carry on his legacy and talk about him, mention something, ask questions, this and that. Nothing is off the table. And it breaks my heart to think that in, you know, decades from now, when I'm gone, and then when they're gone, my grandchildren will never know him. And the conversations will stop at some point. And I just have to make sure that I do my best to get his story out there, to get his name out there. You know, there's pictures of him throughout the county. We have an honor chair at the police academy he went to. There's a substation that's been named in his honor. And so I just hope that through the years to come, new officers come in, they see his name and his picture and think, hey, who is that guy? And they look him up, and, you know, maybe that's how he will continue on. But what Kristen said is so important, to not be forgotten. And when the officers, when the agencies don't check in and don't do this, or it's months not hearing something, or you're not told about something until days before it happens, or you find out through another person that they said did this, it's a knife to the heart, that because then he's forgotten. Like, I don't right. care if you didn't think to say something to me, whatever. You didn't think to say something about him. And that's just,
he deserves more than that. He deserves exactly. more than that. And, exactly. you know, when we look at, when you said people read their names on, you know, you put someone's name on a brick, or you put someone's name on a plaque, and for the new officers, they walk around it and they don't even, it doesn't even comprehend sometimes the name, and they don't put it. And what you said is you look them up, and that's why it's so important. We say the person's name. We physically say their name out loud, mm-hmm. not something that's on a wall or a plaque. We physically say their name out loud. And if we keep remembering their names and we put it into our mental memory, you'll never be forgotten. You'll never be forgotten. And that's why it's groups like Blue Wives Matter, A Badge of Honor, hashtag Walk the Bridge, all these wonderful groups that are out there that we'll always remember. And we fight each and every day to keep those legacies alive. You know, Carry the Load, like it's right behind Sam. You know, we were at a gala the other day. Yeah, we were at a gala the other day. And what they brought up about Memorial Day, because people forgot the true meaning of a Memorial Day. Yeah. Right? It's not all about hamburgers and hot dogs. It's about the men and women who we lost, who served our country, and we can't forget them. Just like our first responders, we cannot forget those we lost who protected us 24/7.
Yeah.
So I understand. I can't imagine that pain that you feel when you feel like you're going to be forgotten. But you can count on Badge of Honor, and I'm sure Blue Wives Matter, that you will never be forgotten.
Well, and it's like our Patches of Honor program is kind of about, because the kids, you know, well, now I went through a lot of health problems, so they weren't getting them monthly. But now that I'm healthy, I got my pacemaker, and I'm streamlined, you know, I got a label maker, so it should go out monthly now. They get the law enforcement patches mailed to them every month. And that's a reminder that neither their dad or their parent that has passed away, nor the kids, have been forgotten, you know, at least by Blue Wives Matter. So they get a monthly reminder in the mail. And plus by the officers that are donating the patches, You know, we get patches donated from around the country. We collaborate with Street Cop Training. Are you familiar with them?
No, I haven't heard.
Street Cop? Yeah, we'll talk a little about
this. Yeah. I see the time. Do you need to break?
That's okay. We're going to come back. You have this on your website. And for people that are listening, the website is bluewivesmatter.net. You guys that are watching can see it right there on the screen. Highly encourage everybody to go there and read about the programs. We're going to dive into that. But when we come back, I have a question for Eden, and then we'll go into the programming. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hi, welcome to Heroes in Action. I'm Ray Amanat, founder and creator of this training system. I originally made it so that everyone can train for free. We have programs for kids, for women, families, and businesses. I'm an author, speaker, and educator on everything that has to do with violence and bullying prevention education. If you'd like more information about who we are and what our programs are, please go to our website at heroesinaction.us or give me a call if you have any questions at 727-314-2534. We hope to see you here to train.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We have Kristen and Eden with Blue Wives Matter. I'm sorry. It almost comes out of my mouth. The Blue Lives Matter.
But everybody it's just, wants to say
Blue Wives with a W. Blue Wives Matter. And the support network that you guys provide throughout our country is wonderful. So, Sam, we were going to follow up on a question. You said you wanted to follow up.
Eden, I wanted to ask, what would you say is the number one thing that a department can do when, for the spouse, when they lose an officer?
Oh gosh. I mean, it's hard to consolidate it into one thing because it starts with notification. The notification to my family was not done properly. By the time I made it home from the hospital, my children had already been told, and that's not okay. I should have been the one to do that. And the manner in which the officer told my children is unforgivable. So it starts at that very connection, that moment of notification, and then the moment you step on my property to come and inform me, or what happens with media release and everything, it starts there. And my husband was the first line of duty death at his agency. It's a small agency. They had to ask a police department where he formerly had worked at for even a picture to release. They didn't even have a photo of him and had no idea what to do. So I guess fortunately, his previous agency did kind of team up and help his current department out a little bit. He was the first line of duty death for his agency and the first in over a decade for the county. So it was kind of, renewed thing. And so, and then to make things worse, we had an election. My husband worked for the constable's department, which was through the election. And my husband was killed in May. Come November, they had elections and they didn't go the way a lot of people thought they were going to go. So we had a new constable come in January, and a lot of people left. He hired a lot of new people. And so almost everybody at the agency was new and didn't know my husband. So I went through three different liaisons in the matter of 6 months. So therefore, all of my paperwork was on hold. Some of the benefits weren't even turned in until almost a year after his death. And as spouses, we can't just call the Department of Justice and say, hey, you know, what's going on or this or that. You know, in fact, I tried to do that. And they said, we have to talk to the agency. And I kept saying, well, what am I supposed to do? They're not doing that. Like, you know, I'd call the agency and they'd say, oh, well, we have a new lieutenant. Let's let them get situated in their new position. And then they'll see what was left from the old person and this and that. And, it just.
So is it like, I'm hearing like zero compassion.
Exactly. Don't get me wrong. They have done some very, special things. The new constable put my husband's name on all the police cars. You know, once they rebranded them, his name is on there for hopefully to stay. He did a memorial ride on the 1 year end of watch. So, you know, he's done a lot of special things. He helped us to get to police week. You know, he did a lot of things. So don't get me wrong.
The people you talk to on the phone.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And just all business. And that's really what it felt like that first year was just another name that we'll get to, from this side of things to this side, like with everything. And then we had a redistricting in the county. So precinct 4 is no longer precinct 4, it's precinct 3, and the precinct 1 is now precinct 4. So I don't even know who my husband belongs to anymore. You know, they'll call this person. Oh, well, he's not part of precinct. His number is different than what our number is. And, you know, his where's his picture? Oh, it's in a box somewhere. It's in this somewhere, because we're in a different building now. And it just, like I said, it starts from that very first moment. And I feel like that moment was tainted, and I can't help but have a little bitterness throughout the way. But like I said, don't get me wrong. There has been some really good things, and people have tried. I think genuinely people have good intentions. They just didn't know what to do. They don't know what to say. And, you know, Kristen said she wishes she could go to a department to, you know, train departments on how to handle things. And I actually know a surviving spouse in Colorado that has done that. They created a guidebook for how to handle things. And there are organizations, Concerns of Police Survivors, COPS. They came in right away with some paperwork and have helped guide us throughout the way. But it feels like once you're through the funeral, once you're through the paperwork, once you're through that first memorial, then it really doesn't matter anymore. You know, every few months, if the agency gets something in the mail, they'll let me know. But it's, you know, a few months. You know, every once in a while, I'll get a text to check in, or I'll check in regarding something. But, you know, and people are just busy. They have their own lives. They have their own priorities. They don't think about us. And, you know, that's, I have to understand that. You know, we do understand that, but it doesn't make it any less harder. The friends of my husband's, his partners that, you know, he would lay in bed and joke about and this and that, don't really hear from them as much. There is one officer from his former agency that stays in very close contact and has become kind of a best friend to me. I joke and say my friend, but really he was Caleb's friend, but I guess he's my friend too. He walked our daughter down the aisle to me, and then I escorted her the rest of the way. And then there's a couple officers from the smaller agency that he was with when he was killed, that are no longer with that agency. Like I said, everything is flip-flopped. They stay in touch here and there through social media and have come to some of my son's football games and basketball games, my daughter's dance contests. And those moments mean everything, because like I said earlier, it's who think to text us that I thought about Caleb today. That's because Caleb, you know, is being remembered. And if you came to Roslyn's dance contest, it's because you were thinking about Caleb. And, you know, just little things like that. And it has to start from that first point of contact and continue. Caleb is still on the wall with Precinct 4 by his name. He should still be considered part of Precinct 4, no matter where that building is or who passes through the walls of that building from here on out.
I agree.
With, you know, Missouri City for 14, almost 15 years. Yes, he had left them for about a year and a half before he was killed, but he still is a part of that. And they have a picture of him in their roll call, but new officers. So that's just through time, little by little, it does fade away. But those little moments help us to keep going and remember that maybe there's some hope that it won't fade away completely. So I can't really say. I don't know if I actually answered your question.
That is. No, you did, because there isn't one thing. There isn't one thing. It's you have to get it right from the beginning. And I think it's very important and it's vital that people hear about that. And because of what you went through, you know, it's a teaching tool, and you've got support to say when another spouse gets on, is to say, oh, I know about that. And hey, here's how it's going to go for the next couple of months. And thank you so much. I mean, that was emotional for me to listen to about how it, I don't know. You just think it's like when an officer passes, like you should have this down. And
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's the, well, it'll never happen here mentality, but then I just want to smack you. So we're ending this segment on violence. We got to take our life. And then I want to dive in on the programming with Kristen. So we will be right back. We got our last quick break.
Okay. To the Health Engineer Show. I'm Kurt Buechler, the Health Engineer, right here on the Offbeat.
Hi, I'm Larry Cortez.
Hi, my name is Susan Hamilton, and you're watching Offbeat. Hi, this is Doreen Milano. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business, where we will be talking to Terry Arjala.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast.
All right, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Take it away, Sam.
Okay. No, we want to thank OPBM, our major sponsor for that, and for every week doing the heavy lifting after our shows. And diving into Kristen, we talked about, first of all, Eden, it would be an incredible person on the groups when you guys meet, just to know that even though things may not start out so great, you know, in the end, you guys are pulling together to help so many people. And Kristen, I know on your website, you could see it. You don't do all the programming by yourself. You have other organizations that help. And you started to mention one before we took our last break, or our last break. But talk about how your Blue Lives Matter is able to do what you guys do with the help.
I was saying that we collaborate with Street Cop Training, which is back east. And Dennis Bonino, he's actually on our board. He owns Street Cop Training. And what they do is they hold seminars to train cops to be better cops. And they have classes around the country. And what they do is they talk about Blue Lives Matter, and they ask the officers that are coming to be trained to bring patches for our patch program. And so, and then they mail them to me, and that's where I get the majority of my patches. Because when I met Dennis, I told him that I was spending all day and all night. I was hardly sleeping because I was, you know, requesting patches from cops all over. And I don't know if you guys were in law enforcement, but yeah. Cops are flakes. Okay, I've been married to one for almost 30 years. you ask them to do something and they're like, oh yeah, I'll get right on it. And then they don't do it. You know, just like they never return a phone call. Yeah. So, you know, they mean well. They
ow!
Mean well, but they don't.
Cut her off right now.
So they would say they'd mail me patches, but, you know, maybe like 5% would. And so, you know, I would go back on, did you mail me those patches? Oh, yeah, I meant to. And so, you know, it was a losing battle. And I had all these kids that wanted to be in the patch program, but I didn't have enough patches. So Dennis said, I've got like 90,000 cops. I'll take care of it. And I'm like, thank God. So I get majority of my patches from him. And now I have over 150 kids in the patch program. And I can add, so this is how I can have a married mother in the program that's 21. Usually I'd have to kick them off by then. But, you know, I have enough patches to you know, incorporate a Miss Annie in the patch program. So they send me patches and we collaborate wonderfully.
You've got the peer support. So how, if you're a spouse and you're looking for the peer support, what you offer at Blue Lives Matter, yeah, the website's there. Does the peer support, do you have like a separate Zoom? How does that work and when is it?
No, so I usually kind of do that myself. I will be speaking to someone and I'll just kind of go like, you know what, you have a very similar story to Abby. And I think you and Abby would, you know, could, you know, mesh well.
And so share, yeah.
If, you know, if Abby's open to sharing her story with you and her phone number, and then I will match them and they can chat together. Or if we're local, there's a lot of local, I'm in Orange County, California. And unfortunately, we have a lot of local widows. And so I will, you know, I'll meet a couple gals for lunch. And then I just kind of sit in the corner, you know, because I'm like the, you know, the one, they all know me. So they feel safe coming to meet me. And then they end up talking. And I'm just sitting in the corner sipping on my Diet Coke, and you know, and I just let them talk and meet, and then they're so thankful that they met each other and, you know, have been able to share their story and have met somebody that, you know, they have a similar story. And I actually hold, and I'm gonna do it this summer too. Hey, maybe in August if you come down, Eden. I host local widows in my home. And my husband cooks all of our food and he waits on us hand and foot. And they come and they end up staying like 6-7 hours. And everybody shares their story with each other. And it's just, and we have widows that have been widowed since the early 80s, all the way to it's been 2 months, you know, and they really can, I mean, they get good advice from and everything in between. And we have all kinds of causes of death, you know, and it was great the last time we did it because I had a woman who, her husband was killed when she was 8 months pregnant. And then I had another one and her, this was, you know, this was the one that was killed 25 years ago, the CHP one. And then I had one who was killed like 3 years ago and she had a 5-month old at the time and they both were never going to know their dads. And so she was able to talk to this one about how to tell her baby how to remember the dad, what she did for her son to remember his dad. And, you know, so, and this one, you know, had never met another law enforcement widow or widow ever. You know, I had been in touch with her since she lost her husband, but she just wasn't ready until, you know, I just kept checking on her and she wasn't ready. And then she finally, a couple of years it had been, and then she came to my house for the meeting to meet.
Wow. This, you are an amazing facilitator, Kristen. I mean, what you do to put these widows together so that they have a voice, right? Outside the frustration, they can be angry. Yeah. Whatever it is, knowing that there's kids involved and how to do that. And it is so important. This time has just flown by. We can't thank you enough.
Sam, let me just bring up one thing.
For coming on. Yeah.
Just let me bring up one thing, Kristen. You know, and I'd be remiss if we, I would feel bad if we didn't ask as a badge of honor, me and Sam. You know, with all this secondary trauma that's coming into you with the stories, how are you holding up real quick?
I cry.
You know, psychologists and psychiatrists and therapists, they all have a therapist because they take in all this trauma that they hear, though it didn't happen to them, the secondary trauma that they hear. So I want to make sure that you're okay before we leave this show, because what you're telling me is all this trauma from all over the country, from these women and spouses that you're internalizing. I want to make sure that you're okay.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. There's times that I cry, you know, because I hear everyone's story, and it's hard, you know. And sometimes I hear more than one story a day. And it's, you know, because I'm a police wife too.
And the daughter of a police officer, like myself as well. My mom was a police officer. So that's all we've ever known is this trauma that comes in.
That's a lot to take in.
Yeah. But they're both retired now. You know, so, you know, and my husband's now a social worker. But he's not my therapist.
Well, it's glad to hear that you have that outlet as well. And definitely it's something that, you know, we all surrounded by this tough subject that we all need to get out in a healthy way. So thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. Folks, if you are listening, it is bluewivesmatter.net. Again, bluewivesmatter.net. They also have an amazing Facebook page. Check it out. Support. If you're listening, you're in law enforcement, send patches. And you can find out on the website where to send patches. Eden, thank you for coming on, sharing a very difficult time in your life. Caleb's now going out there.
You're coming a little broken up, Sam.
A little bit.
Yeah, she's coming a little broken up. So I'm just gonna throw this out because she froze. Eden, let me tell you something. You know what? As a badge of honor, we're not gonna forget your husband, because if you can do me a favor, friend me on Facebook, send me a picture, okay? Because we are part of Carry the Load. I am carrying for my ex-partner this year. Oh, I'll be happy to carry for him as well.
There it is.
Yes.
I will be happy to carry for Caleb also this time, year.
But what Eden is showing.
I'll connect you to.
In Dallas, please get in touch with us. If you're not, let us know. And we'll find.
He's all broken up.
I can't understand you at all.
His honor board to carry a procession that comes back. Okay, so Eden, reach out to us and let us know. Okay,
we're gonna try to get back. We didn't go last year. We're gonna try to go back this year, but it's on his end of watch day. So I don't know how I'll feel, but we'd like to.
I'll be proud to carry his picture.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
We got you. We got you. Please reach out. So with that, again, thank you for coming on. And God bless you both for what you do. Keep telling your story. Keep supporting. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Sam, all right. Powerful story. And thank you, Carry the Load. Carry the Load, once again, is involved in this. You guys see how this works, how people, we did not know, Eden connected to Carry the Load, that Caleb had an honor board. This is how organizations, it just goes out there in the universe, and God, they're doing fantastic things. So thank you again, Blue Wives Matter and Carry the Load, for remembering all of our heroes in blue, all of our first responders, out there that give them themselves every single day, and in record numbers, they're not coming home. You know, we're praying for you every single day, to our veterans, our active duty. Thank you for serving, keeping the home front safe so that we can do shows like this. It's an amazing feeling to be part of something that can just go global. And so Caleb's name is going global. We know that, John. Yep. And so everybody, just take a moment to remember Caleb, as we remember those that we have lost recently right here in Rockwall, with Shane. I won't say his last name out of respect, because I don't have permission, who we just lost recently. So, John, with that, take us home.
Man, thank you. It was a powerful thing. Once again, thank you, Grunt Style, for supporting our cause. And once again, man, keep saying their names. You know, that means so much to the family to reach out. I know it's not easy at times, but a simple text, a simple phone call saying, I'm thinking about you, I'm remembering that person, means so much. And it holds so much. It gives the family a lot of healing words. So please make sure you reach out. Don't ever forget them.
Until next week, everybody. Thank you so much again. And get on our Facebook and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Take care, John. Good night.
Take care, son. Good night.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBN Network podcast. A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBN Network podcast and protected under copyright.